Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai on this auspicious Thursday when Prashanthi is celebrating Ugadi, the sacred Telugu New Year's Day. Till now you are listening to a beautiful bouquet of devotional songs by Kumari Soumya Varanasi. And this morning, if you were tuned into the program in Cyclone Hall on Radio Sai, you would have heard the Panchanga Shravanam, that is the recitation of the religious almanac pertaining to the coming year. The Vedic scholar Sri Rejati Sri Ramacharulu presented what this new year is going to bring for us according to the astrological signs, and said that this new year bears the name Vijaya, meaning victory. Well, that's good news, isn't it? But even as I say this, what comes to my mind is what Baba used to say in almost every New Year discourse, and this used to be his message for the New Year in most of his discourses on such occasions. Baba says, do not waste time speculating over what would happen in this New Year. If your actions are good, your future is bound to be good. God is only a witness. He neither protects you nor punishes you. In fact, it is you who protect or punish yourself. Therefore, in this new year, develop new and sacred feelings and make everybody happy. Do not strive for money, strive for love. Then not only you, the whole country, nay, the entire world will prosper. Pray for the peace and prosperity of the entire world. This has been the crux of Bhagwan's message on the new year. And Swami used to go on to say, there is no need to wait for a new year to bring new tidings. Every moment is new. Develop good thoughts and engage in good deeds now, right now, from this moment itself. In fact, dear listeners, if you look at the New Year celebrations in India, it actually goes on all around the year. In January, we have the English New Year. In March and April comes Ugadi, followed by Tamil New Year and Vishu, Malayali New Year on April 14th. And further down the year, you have Gujarati and Marwari New Year. It comes on the October, November, fag end of the year. And so on, it goes on. The New Year celebrations happen, in fact, all around the year. That is why Baba says every moment is new, and every moment is the right moment to make that transition in our lives, to move towards God with more zeal, with more spirit, with more sacrifice and more selflessness. And to give us energy and inspiration, there is the Lord. And the method to invoke this cosmic energy is by chanting the Lord's name and ruminating His form. Just like it happened today in Prashanthi Nilayam, and indeed happens every single day. And that is why we have bhajans. To draw that extra grace, to draw that extra energy, to march on the Godward path. And the properly we do this sadhana, the more correctly we engage in this sacred spiritual practice, the better it is as we march unto the Lord. And that is the reason why we have this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And before I move on, let me remind you, dear listeners, you are actually listening to the Thursday live broadcast straight from the studios of Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, happily at your service. And now, let's move on, as I said, to Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. But before that, here is something most important. Let's begin with that.
Let us first offer our prayerful and most reverential salutations at the lotus feet of the one who is the most magnificent and the most mystifying force of this universe, and the one who is at the same time most lovable and most endearing one of our lives. Dear Lord, we feel your love in everything we do. We feel your presence in every noble thought that occurs in our minds, and we see your divine hand in every little good act that we endeavor to undertake. Please be with us, dear Lord. With this prayer, Dear listeners, let's move on and welcome to this yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And today, we learn a bhajan adoring the charming one of the Dwapara age, Lord Krishna. The first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara.
So let's get started with getting familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the technicalities of the raga, tala and so on, and then we will discuss in detail the meaning of this bhajan. And finally, in the end, we will hear the reminiscences of a long-standing member of the Prashanti Bhajan group, Mr. Sujit Kumar. Sujit has been singing in the Divine Presence for more than 10 years and even now continues to sing. So that conversation is the concluding part of this program. For now, let's get on with the lyrics.
Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara megha shyamala madhava murahara. Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundar manda smita mukha radha manohara govinda gopala natavara giridhara megha shyamala madhava murahara.
Now that we are familiar with the lyrics, let's move on to actual singing. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. And you will listen to Brother Anirudh follow every line of Ravi Kumar. Dear listeners, please join Anirudh as he follows Ravi Kumar. You will like it and learn it.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale D Pancham. Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara.
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 Megha shyamala madhava murahara.
Megha shyamala madhava murahara.
Megha shyamala madhava murahara.
Megha shyamala madhava murahara.
Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara.
Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara.
Manda smita mukha radha manohara.
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 Govinda gopala natavara giridhara.
గోవింద గోపాల నటవరగిరిధర
గోవింద గోపాల నటవర గిరిధర
గోవింద గోపాల నటవర గిరిధర
మేఘ శ్యామల మాధవ మురహర
మేఘ శ్యామల మాధవ మురహర
మేఘ శ్యామల మాధవ మురహర
మేఘ శ్యామల మాధవ మురహర
ఘన ఘన నీల వదన అతి సుందర.
So that was the tune of the bhajan in the voice of Ravi Kumar and Brother Anirudh. And now, for those who are connoisseurs of music, let's learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. And for this, I have with me, fortunately, Anirudh here now with me in the studios. Welcome, Anirudh, to this program.
Thank you, Bishu.
So, Anirudh, in which raga is this bhajan based?
I think, Bishu, this bhajan, Gana Gana Neela Vadana, is based on a rag, Hindustani rag, Mian Ki Malhar.
Okay.
Which belongs to the Malhar family of ragas.
Yes.
I think I had mentioned this Malhar family before.
Yes.
When we are talking about Gavati, Rag.
Yes.
Gavati.
Is it Jai Shri Ganesha?
Yeah, yeah.
Jai Shri Ganesha.
Yes.
Yeah. So in this bhajan, we can see the way the bhajan has been composed is based on the rag. Mian Ki Malhar.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you line by lines for us for this bhajan.
But before that, can you give us a glimpse into the raga itself?
Yeah.
The aro and the avro of Mian Ki Malhar.
Yeah. This rag, Mian Ki Malhar, it is generally sung in the late evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And the arohana and the avrohana go like this.
Sa ma re pa ni ma pa ni da ni sa sa dha ni ma pa ga ma re sa.
This raga is in Carnatic music, it is similar to Kannada raga.
Okay.
But the way it has been used is different in the Hindustani raga, and which is called Mian Ki Malhar. So the beauty of this raga lies in that very common, very popular phrase,
Mapani Dani Sa,
where you have both Shuddha and Komalni.
Mapani
Ni one.
Dani Sa.
Yes, both the knees.
Yeah, both the knees. And this particular expression comes in many of the bhajans. Like for example,
Guru Mahima Gao, Guru Mahima Gao, Mapani Dani Sa.
Wonderful. And Malhar means rain, right?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. It is really a rain-based raga. Like people where Tansen used to sing in Akbar's court, this raga, and it used to rain after he sings this.
I mean, they were able to produce rain.
Yeah, such is the power of this raga.
By singing this raga.
Music.
Wonderful. Fantastic. I mean, when you sang the alap itself, it was such a uplifting feeling. So I think when the greats sing it, we don't know what magic it can create.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, let's go back to the notes of every line of this bhajan, Anirudh.
Yeah, sure.
Ghana ghana nila vadana ati sundara Sasare pagamare sa re ni da da ni sa megha shyamala madhava murahara.
Here there is a major deviation from the raga where you have tivrama coming into picture.
Tivrama comes here.
Yeah.
Sasare pa pa ma mani dhani pa da ma pa ma.
Yes.
And sasare pa. All these phrases don't
exactly confirm to Malhar.
Yeah,
Miyake
exactly
Malhar.
Confirm to Malhar, but it's the way the composer has made this bhajan.
Yes.
Ghana ghana nila vadana ati sundara sasare pagamare sarene dada ne sasa manda smita mukha radha manohara Mama papa ni dani pa, mapa ni dani sa sa. Govinda Gopala, natavara giridhara. Parisari ni sa ni pa, ga 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 mare re ni sa. Megha shyamala madhava murahara sasagare papama manidhani padamapa ghana ghana nila vadana ati sundara.
Amazing. Is there one more bhajan in the same raga, Anirudh?
Bishu, I think, as I mentioned earlier,
Guru Mahima Gao.
I think it belongs to this Malhar. And,
Shiva Harahe, Hara Shivahe, Sambha Sada Shiva. Shiva Harahe.
Oh, wonderful. I think, of course, there are so many compositions in this raga, classical as well as even in the movies.
Yeah.
But in the bhajans, I think we have these that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh. It does give us a very good, I wouldn't say a comprehensive, but a glimpse of what Miyake Malhar is. And I think it will help all those listeners who are keen to learn this raga so that they can sing this bhajan better. Thank you so much for coming to the studios.
Thank you, Bishu.
Sairam. Coming now to the tala, this bhajan is based on the Keherva Taal, the 8-beat rhythm, which in Carnatic music is called Aditalam. So now we are become familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan. And let's move on now to understanding the inner feeling with which this bhajan should be sung. We start with the first line.
Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara.
Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara.
Here ghana means full of, very, and neela means blue. Bhagwan explains that Krishna is described as blue in color, and this is not because he was physically blue in color, but because he is as deep and inscrutable as the sky. Baba says that even though the sky has no color, blue is the color that our eye comprehends. In the similar way, Krishna has no color or attributes, but in order to comprehend him, the mental eye attributes a color. During a discourse in 1996, Swami said, "We say that the sky is blue and the ocean is blue. This is incorrect. Neither the sky nor the ocean is blue in color in reality. It is the vastness of space and the depths of the ocean which produce this impression of blueness. God is the greatest mystery. The dark blue color in which he is depicted is a symbol of the depth of that mystery. The sky and the sea are blue on account of their vast depth. Same it is with the Lord." So that is the rationale behind adoring Lord Krishna as the blue complexioned Lord. Moving on, the fourth word is vadana, meaning face. The fifth word, ati, means extremely, and sundara means beautiful. Hence, ati sundara means one who is exceptionally beautiful. In fact, one meaning of the name Krishna is karshati iti Krishna. That is, Krishna is the one who attracts. And Baba has often mentioned how Krishna attracted not only by his matchless beauty of his form, but also by his speech and sports, his dance and jokes, his music and his magic. He attracted all with his beauty so that he could make their lives beautiful. And it is the same we saw and continue to see in the Satya Sai Avatar too. Baba's form is one which captivates men and women alike. For men, he is so handsome and dignified. For women, he is so charming and graceful. For the youth, he is so classy and full of style. For the children, he is so childlike and innocent. That is the divine mystery and divine beauty, so unique to the Satya Sai Avatar. The Lord captivated first, and then when we came near him, he cared for us, won our hearts, and then cultivated our character. So that is the beauty of the Lord and the beauty of his mission. Hence in this line, ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara, we bow down to the one who is the embodiment of mystery, the one who charms us with his exquisite beauty and captivating divinity. Let's move on to the second line.
Megha shyamala madhava murahara.
Megha shyamala madhava murahara.
Here Megha refers to cloud. Shyamala means dark complexioned. Revealing the inner significance, Baba says, Krishna draws the mind away from sensory desires and satisfies the deepest thirst of man for peace, for joy and for wisdom. That is why he is adored as Megha Shyama, dark blue as the rain cloud. The urge to drink inferior drinks that only feed the thirst disappear when once the sweetness of Krishna Nama and Krishna Bhava, the name and thought of Krishna, are tasted. Krishna is that rain cloud which will quench our thirst for happiness and peace, and it is a peace and happiness that is not of this world. It is most satisfying and uplifting. The third word in this line is Madhava, which can be split as Ma and Dhava. Since Krishna is considered as an avatar of Lord Vishnu, Ma refers to his consort, Mother Lakshmi. Ma also represents Prakriti or nature. The word Dhava means master. The fourth word is Murahara, derived from Mura, referring to the demon Mura, and Hara means to destroy. Mura also represents the ignorance that covers us and makes us body conscious, resulting in us forgetting our true divine nature. Lord Krishna takes us away from our body consciousness. He removes this delusion that we are the body. That is why he is Murahara. Thus in this line, Megha Shyamala, Madhava Murahara, we call out to the Lord who is like the rain-bearing clouds quenching our deep thirst for oneness with God. He is the master of nature and also the one who removes the veil of ignorance that covers our minds. Let's move on to the third line.
Ghana ghana nila vadana ati sundara.
Ghana ghana nila vadana ati sundara.
This is a repeat of the first line where we call out to the blue complexion Lord who is one of mystery and supreme beauty. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Mandasmita mukha Radha Manohara.
Mandasmita mukha Radha Manohara.
Here Mandasmita means a soft and beautiful smile. The second word mukha means face. There is a beautiful chinnakatha or short story that Bhagwan narrates which describes the power of Krishna's beautiful smile. Once when Krishna, his brother Balrama and their friend Satyaki were little boys of 4 or 5, they strayed into a thick jungle all by themselves. And since darkness fell as they walked, they decided to spend the night there itself. Krishna playfully frightened the other two with his descriptions of ghosts and demons roaming in search of human prey. And then he proposed that two of them should sleep for 3 hours at a stretch while the third one kept a watch. Accordingly, Satyaki sat up at 10 p.m. while the other two slept. In due course, a demon appeared before little Satyaki and fell upon the boy. Satyaki resisted heroically and the demon at last retreated, leaving Satyaki in the process badly hurt but happy. Despite the noise, Krishna and Balrama slept soundly, not being disturbed in the least. At 1 a.m., Satyaki awakened Balrama and then he went to sleep as if nothing had happened. The demon came again and now Balrama showed his prowess. In fact, his blows were more terrible than Satyaki's and he too soon drove away the demon. And then at 4 a.m., Balarama awakened Krishna and went back to sleep. The demon came the third time, now roaring like a wounded tiger, and advanced furiously at little Krishna. But look at what Krishna did. The little Krishna simply turned his sweet, charming face at him and beamed an ethereal smile. The smile was so lovely and so magical that it actually disarmed the demon. And the longer the demon came under the influence of Krishna's smile, the weaker became his vengeance and his venom. And finally, the demon became as meek as a lamb. When Balarama and Satyaki awoke, as it was already dawn, they were surprised at the victory that Krishna had won by simply flashing his smile. In fact, on one occasion, Baba said, "Move about always with a smile on your face. Do not make the smile a cynical grin or a laugh of merriment. No one should feel hurt by your smile. Everyone should feel happy and catch that infection of joy." A smile spreads positive energy because, as someone very rightly said, a smile is a curve that sets everything straight. So that is the sweet smiling Lord, Mandasmitamukha. Moving on, the third word is Radha, referring to the dear devotee of Lord Krishna. In the summer course of 1978, during a discourse, Baba said, "In order to teach wisdom to the people at large, Krishna took Arjuna as an instrument and imparted to him the Bhagavad Gita. But through Radha, Krishna was teaching people about the sacred aspects of devotion. When you surrender your actions and thoughts to Krishna, you too will have reached the stage of Radha." The word Radha does not refer only to a woman. You should understand that anyone who surrenders himself or herself to Krishna will become Radha. This is what Bhagwan said, and in the same discourse, Bhagwan spoke of the significant life lessons that we should learn from Radha. The first is, we should not only fill our heads with knowledge and wisdom, but also fill the heart with intense love for God. And the second lesson is, we should surrender our sensory organs to God, failing which, they will take us onto the wrong path. Bhagwan also added, you can understand Radha only if you can fathom the depth of that thirst for God. Radha believed that Krishna is the Aadhar or basis, and she did aradhana or worship to Krishna in a continuous dhara or stream. In fact, she is dhara or prakriti, which is nature, which is another form of the Lord who is adored as the Purusha. Radha is prakriti and the Lord is Purusha. And this union is what Radha Krishna is all about. So that is the significance of the devotion of Radha. The last word in this line is Manohara, meaning the one who captivates. Hence in this line, Manda Smitamukha Radha Manohara, we describe the Lord as the one with the most fascinating smile, the enchanting one who taught the lesson of supreme love through his greatest devotee, Radha. Let's move on to the next line.
Govinda Gopala Natavar Giridhara.
Govinda Gopala Natavar Giridhara.
Here the first word is Govinda. Go denotes cows. Baba says, go means individual. The tending of cows is a symbolic play of Krishna to indicate his mission of tending to individual souls. The inner meaning Baba reveals is that Govinda is one who controls the animal nature in man, the one who subdues our animal tendencies. The second word is Gopala. Here again, go denotes cows and pala means to protect. Literally, Gopala means the one who protects the cows. Once in the month of September 1977, in the Vrindavan hostel in Bangalore, Bhagwan was speaking about Krishna and suddenly he said, Krishna moved among men as an ordinary person and drew them to the observance of his prescriptions by means of his divine prema or his divine love. Krishna refrained from parading his divine insignia, that is the conch, the wheel, the mace or the lotus. Krishna did not even wear a crown. As a little boy, Krishna followed the cows into the pastures with just a towel bound round his head. And even as Bhagwan said this, do you know what happened? Swami asked for a long towel and wound it around his head to show how Krishna appeared in those days of yore. Baba said in those days there were plenty of peacocks in and around Gokul Vrindavan, and so when Krishna came across a fallen feather, he simply took it and stuck it between the folds of the towel. Swami showed how Krishna would wear a towel as his crown. Well, for the boys present on that occasion, it was indeed a blessed moment, a moment of finest delight when Swami stood revealed as Gopala. Moving on, the third word here is Natavara, means best among dancers. In fact, there is a dance form called Kathak, which is famous in India, and the syllables that form the basis for the footwork in this dance are Ta, Thi and Tat. And all these three syllables are believed to have been produced when Krishna danced on the hood of serpent Kalia. Well, God is the origin of all creativity. In fact, once when a teacher speaking in the divine presence mentioned that talent is a gift of God, Baba instantly corrected him and said, no, talent is God. God is the best among the best, be it a dancer, a singer or a painter. And that is why Krishna is Natavara. The last word in this line is Giridhara, which comes from Giri and Dhara. Giri means hill and it refers to the Govardhana hill that, as the legend goes, Lord Krishna held atop his little finger to protect the residents of Gokul Vrindavan from the heavy downpour of rain that Lord Indra sent. The word Dhara means to hold. All our problems and worries are like these hills. And if you look carefully, it is the Lord who is carrying all these mountains of problems for us to make our lives easier. Also, another way of looking at this is the different projects that Bhagwan has done for humanity. Each of his project is like a mountain, be it the super speciality hospital or the university or the massive water project. The Lord carries all these mammoth institutions to provide succor and sustenance, hope and life to so many. That is the benevolent Lord. That is Giridhari. Hence in this line, Govinda Gopala Natavara Giridhara, we hail the Lord as the one who lovingly tends to all beings and removes our bestial tendencies. He is the one who is the best among the dancers, the most munificent one, who is ever ready to take up any burden for the sake of his devotees. Let's move on to the last line.
Megha Shyamala माधव मुरहर
मेघ श्यामल माधव मुरहर.
This is a repeat of an earlier line wherein we adore the beautiful blue complexion Lord, the master of nature and the mystery of this creation. With this, dear listeners, we have captured a glimpse of the meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, in the penultimate part of this program, let us ruminate on all these thoughts and sublime feelings as we sing this bhajan once more. You will now listen to the complete version of this bhajan as sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. And as you enjoy listening to this, please do sing along.
घन घन नील वदन अति सुंदर घन घन नील वदन अति सुंदर मन
శ్యామణ మాధవ మురహర శ్యామణ మాధవ మురహర స్మితముఖ రాధా మనోహర గోవింద గోపాల నటవర గిరిధర గోవింద గోపాల
And now, in the last part of this program, here is an extract of a conversation with Mr. Sujit Kumar, who joined Bhagwan's University in 1998 for his bachelor's in biosciences and later went on to do his master's and currently serves as a faculty member in the same department in the Prashant Nilayam campus. He is also someone whom Bhagwan blessed to sing in his divine presence in the very first year of his joining the college, and even now he continues to sing in the Prashant Nilayam Mandir. So here is Sujit Kumar for you. So how is it after you came back to the Prashant Nilayam campus for your post-graduation, and even now you continue to sing, doing your doctoral research? How do you feel now singing in Prashant Nilayam?
It's a very good question. Like, singing has always been an integral part. As I told you, I always had a yearning to sing, and after Swami gave this chance, I didn't take it in a very light way. So I always think that I should practice more, and while singing in front of Swami, you should really give your best.
The seriousness was always...
Seriousness, yes. Even though I've been singing for the past so many years, what I feel is every time you sing, it's the first time you sing.
Wow.
So with that feeling, if you sing, I think you won't take it in a very, what do you say...
Lightly.
Lightly, exactly. So whenever you sing with devotion and give your best to Swami.
This is one yet another occasion, another golden opportunity to present to Bhagwan.
Present to Bhagwan, yes.
And today, you should think, maybe today is the last time, let me do it best.
Exactly, yeah. We have to sing that way.
Wonderful.
So we will give your best every time you sing in front of Swami.
So you practice every day?
Whenever I get time, even if it is just 5 minutes, I try my level best to practice few swaras, few sarvavarishas. I do practice.
And what do you tell the budding singers of the hostel?
What I would like to say is only one thing, that if you practice well, you can always sing well. Like, practice makes man perfect. So what I would say is, whatever time you get, you have to spend, like, if you're a bhajan singer, you have to spend your valuable time for practice, and that will really help in singing well in front of Swami. And sing with bhava. It's very easy to tell, sing with bhava, but it always
comes. How do you sing with bhava, can I ask you, Sujit?
It all comes out with practice. Initially, I used to find it very difficult. Like, you have to remember the wordings, correct? So it's not possible to sing with bhava.
You think of what the bhajan conveys when exactly. You're trying to concentrate on the words
and meaning. So it's very difficult in the initial stages, but I've been singing for so many years, so I find it very easy to...
Now to concentrate,
and even now I try to sing with bhava. That, not that I've almost conquered and I'm singing with bhava every time I sing, but I almost try to sing with bhava.
In fact, I remember one conversation that I had with another alumnus, Balaram Chandran, and he was saying how Swami mentioned to him that when you are practicing, you should concentrate on your raga and your beat and everything to make your voice better. But when you're singing, you should forget about everything else and concentrate only on bhava. When you're singing, you should be only about bhava.
When
you're practicing, it can be about everything else. And I felt that is such a beautiful divine direction, because once you have thorough with the technicalities of the bhajan in your practice session, then you don't think about the lyrics, you don't think about raga, etc. When you're singing, you can just fully concentrate on the bhava. And I think each one has their own way of connecting with the Lord through music. Wonderful, Sujit. Thank you very much for coming to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you so much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Sujit Kumar, a doctoral research scholar in the Department of Biosciences in the Prashantinam campus of Bhagwan's University. And with this, we are at the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. With hearts full of love and gratitude, we place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil, Yatartha and Abhishek. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this program and also found it useful. We eagerly welcome your feedback and requests or any suggestions for this program. Please do email us at listener@radiosai.org. listener@radiosai.org. And now it's time to wind up this segment of Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai. It's time for me to hand over the mic to Abhishek for our 1 hour of Hindi program. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and I will be back again at 8:45 for yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. And today, it is a special episode because today we are going to have a session of Radio Sai Study Circle. Yes, Radio Sai Study Circle with four former students of Bhagwan's University. And today it is going to be quite an interesting and really insightful discussion, because we are going to discuss on a very fundamental aspect of Bhagwan's teaching, a fundamental principle that Bhagwan has been striving to inculcate into our minds, has been striving to teach us right from the time he started giving his discourses. What is that fundamental principle? And how can we understand it and implement it in our lives? Well, all this we are going to discuss 1 hour from now at 8:45. So join me again 60 minutes from now for yet another episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Until then, Abhishek is here, and from me, a loving Sai Ram from Prashantinilayam.